webinar, and goodness gracious, I was talking to Lisa today, how the time has flown. But I know this from the feedback that both her and I have gotten, that even though the time has gone by fast, you really made some great progress. Many of you are experiencing breakthroughs, and I'm excited to hear that. You just don't know yet, because on the fourth session, you're really going to hear some stuff, I think, that are going to open your eyes up. So, welcome again, please.
Great. Thank you, Vic. Welcome, everybody. Yes, I heard everybody clicking in, and we're all ready for this grand finale of week four. And before we get into week four, let's just do a quick review of the 3 weeks that we've had prior. Week one, we talked about clarity and how important it is to have clarity in mind, body, and spirit. How important it is to make sure that we really know what we really want. That was the main focus of week number one is, you know what, let's start really telling the truth. What do you really want? So that the goals we set are congruent with our values, who we are today, now, not 2 years ago or 5 years ago, or what our parents think we should be or what our spouse thinks we are, congruent to who we are, clarity in mind, body, and spirit. And then week number two in the Rich Life was talking about breaking through the boundaries. What are the boundaries that keep people from living a really rich life? And we talked about the physical boundaries of clearing out the clutter, being more organized and neat in our processes, in our desk, our home life, our closets, kitchen, even our own clothing, really cleaning out the clutter. Even talking about, remember we talked about not even subscribing to magazines if we're not going to read them diligently. Because what happens when we do that? We let these things pile up and they wear on our mindset. So something we thought for good, which is subscribing to magazines, is actually hurting us, keeping us from the rich life by this clutter. It clutters our mind. It clutters our thoughts. So that was the big thing about week two, is breaking through those physical boundaries, more the left brain stuff, health and vitality, mental clutter, physical clutter. Then we talked about, in week three, breaking through the boundaries in the beliefs that we have about the rich life. And that was a big one last week. That was talking about, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a person who miracles happen to? Do you see the supernatural? Are you willing to be open to the miraculous? And now that leads us into week four. So after we have this foundation in place, the first 3 weeks, now we can talk about how do we build from this foundation. And I see in my colleagues, myself, my friends, people who are really living the truly rich life, and I mean a rich life, like rich in health, rich in love, rich in joy, rich in experience, rich in the material. The people who are living the rich life have four core habits in place. I've noticed these four habits, and these are things you and I can begin today, tomorrow, in our everyday life, to start integrating these habits of the rich. Because when you begin thinking, behaving, seeing yourself as a rich person, the rich person you are, wow, you begin attracting riches to you. You begin attracting rich love. You begin attracting rich opportunity. The question precedes this is, hey, was the opportunity always there and we just didn't see it? Or now that we're more open to the rich life and opportunities come our way, are they in our path for the first time? You know, I don't know the answer to that. I believe they, for myself, they were there and I just chose not to see them. You know, but who knows the answer to that? The point of the question, the point of the profound thought is, let's begin living the rich life that we are, the rich person that we are, and just watch what you begin to attract. That's when you start noticing the supernatural. You notice the miraculous when you begin to really take who you are, this rich person, and these rich experiences, and build on these foundations that we've been leading up to in week four. So let's get right into it. Four habits of the truly rich. Habit number one, rich people have rich thoughts. And boy, I know Vic would agree with this one as the man thinketh guru. The thoughts, everything begins with our thoughts. So yes, rich living is the nucleus of your thoughts. Now, we know that already. So what's the profound edge on this from Lisa Jimenez? Really, I'm thinking, I've been really researching this over the last several months since I developed this Advanced Rich Life course. And what I see happening is, you know, even the people who know about this truth, they know how important their thoughts are, they still go back to the habit of negative thinking. Why is that? I believe it's because their needs, their innate needs have not been met. So we're going to talk tonight a little bit about your needs. From my psychology background, I know that there are five innate needs of every human being. And I believe if those needs are not met on a healthy basis, you will get those needs met on an unhealthy, unconscious basis. So let's talk about that subconscious that takes over and how we get our needs met. Because, hey, this is what Freud said. Human beings are insatiable beings. They always get their needs met. You and I always get our needs met. It's just in our makeup. We get our needs met. Here's the point. Most people get their needs met on an unhealthy basis in the subconscious. And that's by sabotaging their life. So let's talk now about sabotaging. What are the most prevalent, the most profound self-sabotage behavior, that things we do to get our needs met? You know, because I'm sure you would agree that your behaviors, what you do habitually, this is shouting out hidden messages of an unmet need. So we can't have rich thoughts, and that we can't have that just be our makeup until we get these needs met. So we're not sabotaging our behavior, because then we're talking to ourselves, positive thinking, but why is it not clicking? I believe the profound reason why is because our innate, natural needs have not been met. So first, before we talk about the needs, the five needs of every human being, let's talk about the behaviors that come out from a human being that is not getting their needs met on a healthy basis, so they'll sabotage their life to get it met in an unhealthy way. Here's the four most profound self-sabotage behaviors. The first one, procrastination. We procrastinate. We procrastinate to get a need met. Another self-sabotage behavior is being habitually late. This is someone who, it just seems like everywhere they go, they're late. 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 20 minutes late. It's their habit to be late. Now, remember, they're getting a need met. We're going to talk about that in a second. What is the need you're getting met when you're habitually late? What is the need you're getting met when you procrastinate? The third self-sabotage behavior is disorganization. This is shouting a hidden message. If you are disorganized, or again, a messy desk, clutter, it's just shouting the hidden message of fear. And the fourth self-sabotage behavior, instigating arguments. Somebody who is an instigator, and you know who they are. Some of them are, that's you, and some of them you're married to someone who's an instigator. Why are people like that? You know, this is all about taking responsibility to get your needs met. No other human being on the planet Earth is responsible to get your needs met. You are responsible to get your own needs met. I am responsible for myself to get my needs met, not my husband, not my children, not my career, not my friends. So this is hopefully going to free you up today to give yourself permission to get these needs met. Because again, my friend, if you're not getting these needs met on a healthy basis, you're getting your needs met, but you're doing it in an unhealthy, subconscious basis. And you're hurting your own life, and that's not the rich life. The rich life is being willing to get your own needs met. And some people call that selfish, but I think we need to have a twist on our beliefs on what selfish is. Is it selfish to get your own need met so that you're so filled up you can be there for other people? No, that's not selfish. So we need to really discern about this selfishness thing we have here. And sure, there are selfish people out there, but getting your own needs met is not a selfish trait. It is a very healthy trait because you cannot pour out of an empty pitcher. You cannot pour out of an empty pitcher. Are you empty tonight? Or are you so filled up that you are bubbling over and it's relatively easy for you to fill a need where you see it need met, to be there for another person, to encourage someone else? So let's talk about the five innate needs of every human being. If you have, by the way, if you have any of these self-sabotage behaviors, it just means that you are not getting a particular need met of these five core needs. So if you have, let's say you're procrastinating a lot, and you just seem like you're going through a phase where you're procrastinating. You're waiting till the last minute to get something done. Well, what need could that be filling? Think about that. What does procrastination give you? It gives you something. You're benefiting from it. That's why you're doing it. So what's the need being met? Most likely it's the need for love and attention. Now think about it. The need for love and attention. One of my coaching clients was telling me about her particular situation in her life. And, oh, my friend, it was just so amazing what she was going through, just such turmoil with her son and her husband. And there was, you know, a prison term involved. There was illness involved. She had thought she may have cancer. I mean, just these incredible, incredible life trials and tribulations. She looked at me one day and she said, you know, Lisa, my life is a soap opera. And I'm the star. Wow. What a revealing comment. My life is a soap opera, and I'm the star. Do you see this need that she had for love and attention that was not being met on a healthy basis? And so she was sabotaging her own life. Now, you might be thinking, so Lisa, you think that she's manifesting a prison term and cancer and illness? Yes, I do. That's how powerful our minds are. That's how powerful we are as human beings. That when we have got to get our needs met, and when we're not getting them met on a healthy, conscious basis, we will sabotage our own life. So here she is saying, my life is a soap opera and I'm the star. So what about you? If you're sitting here tonight listening to me saying, yeah, you know, I have a need for attention. I have a need for love. Every human being does. Some more than others. Now remember that. Some more than others. Some need to be in the limelight and have attention on them more than other people. Every human being needs it, but some more than others. So if you're one that understands you have that need for love and attention and you're not getting it met, where in your life are you actually sabotaging your life to get that need met? Could it be by creating turmoil? Could it be by creating illness? Could it be by getting sick, getting hurt? Somebody who's getting hurt all the time? A physical hurt, a broken arm, a sprained ankle? Somebody who's getting their heart hurt? Because what happens when you get your heart hurt or a physical illness? Or habitual sickness. People come to your aid, don't they? They finally pay attention. What about the person who loses things all the time? this is my husband. You know, he loses his keys in the morning or his briefcase in the morning. I mean, this is like a habitual thing, like once a week. So what happens? Oh, Ariana runs over to Dad. Oh, Daddy, let me help you find your keys. And Bo helps and Connor helps and I'm helping. And everybody surrounds Daddy because Daddy needs attention. When you're not getting your needs met on a healthy basis, you will do whatever it takes to get them met. And usually that's on an unhealthy, subconscious basis. So that's where procrastination comes in, this getting habitually sick, this illness, this getting hurt, losing things. That gets your need met of love and attention. Another innate need that every human being has is the need for excitement. Every human being has that need. They need excitement, some more than others. So if you're a person who needs a lot of excitement and you know you are, then tell the truth and get that need met on a healthy basis. Now, this is one of my personal innate needs that's very profound, this need for excitement. So let me tell you what I do when I'm not getting this need met. Here's me. Let's say, you know, it's like 10 to 8 in the morning, and I know I have to leave about 10 after 8, so I have 20 minutes. What should I do with that time? And I'm all ready for work. What should I do with that 20 minutes? Maybe get a book out, maybe sit and meditate, maybe write in my journal. No, I get out a project. And I pull out all the things for this project, and I got 20 minutes. I start working on this project, and I get, like, lost in this project. And then it's quarter after 8, and I'm 5 minutes late. And then I'm running around, and I'm all hyper about being late, and I'm jumping in the car, and I'm running through yellow lights. And then what's going on internally? What's going on internally? Take that same scenario and put it to the person, and to me too, I'm guilty of this too, who loves to procrastinate. You know, you and I are getting a very profound need met when we procrastinate. What's the need we're getting met? Here's the procrastination story. You know, I know I have this assignment due on Thursday, and I say, okay, I'm going to work on it Monday and Tuesday, so I have Wednesday to review it and send it in on Thursday. So Monday, I do something else, never get to it. Tuesday, Wednesday, midnight on Thursday night, I'm getting this thing done. And my adrenaline is going, and I'm hyper, and this project is so important, and I'm getting it done. And then by 3 a.m., I'm finished and ready to email the project. I know you do that, too. Why do we do that? Where's the benefit, people? Where's the benefit? The benefit is we get so addicted to the rush. Being late and procrastinating gives you such a sense of adrenaline, it's addictive. You can get addicted to that adrenaline. So you and I have created this habit of being late, this habit of procrastinating, and we're getting a need met, this adrenaline rush, and it's addicting. We're addicted to the rush. So, what do we need to do about that? If you are like me and you are a person who needs a lot of excitement, then pick up a hobby that has excitement in it. Maybe you need to race cars. Maybe you need to parachute jump. Maybe you need to pick up being a pilot, you know. Maybe you need to pick up tennis. I don't know. What brings that rush to you? I mean, competitive tennis. What brings that rush to your life that you can get that need for excitement met on a healthy basis? I'm telling you, you will be shocked at your behavior. When you fill your life with enough excitement on a healthy basis, you will stop procrastinating. You will stop being habitually late. You will, because it will fill no need in your life anymore. Here's the third innate need that all human beings have. It's the need for control. Every human being needs to feel like they have control, some sense of control, and again, some more than others. So what happens if you don't have control over things in your life? Let's say you're going through a season and you just don't have control over things in your life, or you feel like you don't. What would some sabotage behaviors be? Well, if you said being late, yes, because when you're late for an appointment or late to meet someone, you are actually having control over the situation. If you said, again, procrastinating, yes. You know, I had a client one time that she had so much money. She had all this money in the bank, but she would not pay her bills on time. And finally, we got to the root of it. It was the silly behavior of her having control over the Florida Power and Light, you know, having control over her credit card bills, having control over her mortgage, that she was going to pay it when she's ready to pay it. Now, that's an extreme case, but that was her reality. She felt like she had no sense of control. So the things she had control over, she actually caused herself so much turmoil and pain that we had to completely change her belief about control, that it was a privilege to have credit cards, and it's a privilege to pay those bills on time. It's a privilege to have electricity. It's a privilege to have internet access, and you will pay your bill on time. You know, this stuff is heavy stuff. It's real, and it's affecting you, and it's got to stop. To live the rich life, you've got to give yourself your needs. Make sure, take the responsibility to get your needs met on a healthy basis. So you'll stop this self-sabotage behavior and get your needs met in an unhealthy basis. You'll stop doing that to get them met in a healthy way. And here's the fifth need that all human beings have. The first one was love and attention. The second one is a need for excitement. The third one is a need for control. And the fourth one is the need for alone time. The need for alone time. Every human being needs alone time. Some more than others. Now, if you're not getting this need met on a healthy basis, this alone time, what do you think you do to make sure you get alone time? That's the instigating arguments. You see, picture this. Carol comes home from work, and she's excited to see her husband, David, and they're just both getting home from work at the same time, and she's excited to see him. She can't wait to tell him about her day, and she just walks into the door, and then she sees him, and the next thing you know, she starts instigating this argument. She doesn't even know why she's doing it. She just starts picking at him, and next thing you know, this starts escalating, and she screams at him, and he says, "I'm getting out of here." She says, "No, I'm getting out of here," and she jumps out of her house and slams the door behind her, and then she gets to breathe and say, "I'm alone," because that's what she wanted. When you could rewind that scenario and say, let's say Carol walks in the door and she says, "You know, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to tell you about my day and hear about your day. But you know what? I just need 20 minutes to myself. So I'm going to go take a bubble bath, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to go hit the tennis ball, or I'm going to, you know, just read for a little while, do meditation, go for a swim." What if you just told the truth? What would your marriage look like if you just told the truth? "This is what I need. Would it be all right with you if I give myself this?" And then you go for your alone time, and then you come back together after the 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and you're ready to be a spouse. What if you just told the truth that you need more love and attention, and then gave yourself that gift? What if you told the truth and said, "I just need more excitement. I'm bored." And you put more excitement in your life. You gave yourself the weekend off and went away. Went whitewater rafting, or went and just, you know, water skied again, or snow skied. You haven't snow skied in so long. What if you just told the truth and said, "Yes, I need more control. Where could I have more control over my life? Maybe I need to tell the truth about my finances and feel like I have more control over my P&L statement." You know, I promise you that when you get these innate needs met on a conscious basis, you will live in such a healthy way. You will subside in your procrastination. The habit of being late will subside. Your illnesses will subside. you will stop attracting chaos to get that need met. That's the rich life, my friend. Taking the responsibility, giving yourself the gift of getting these innate needs met. Then you can fulfill habit number one of the rich life, which is rich people have rich thoughts. Because when you're getting your needs met, that's the first foundation. That's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Get your needs met on a healthy basis. Then you can have rich thoughts. And those rich thoughts will be authentic rich thoughts. Habit number one of the truly rich people, truly rich life, is rich people have rich thoughts. Habit number two, rich people have rich beliefs. These rich thoughts grow into rich beliefs, and rich beliefs grow into rich thoughts. This is the foundation of your rich life. They're both congruent, equally important. So habit number two, rich people have rich beliefs. You know, you will stop thinking small when you stop believing small. We talked so much last week about, are you open to the possibility, to the great possibility that you are the type of person that is meant to live a very rich life, rich in love, rich in joy, rich in character, rich in the material, rich in excitement, and rich in opportunity. How do you see yourself? Did you rewrite that vision? Remember that homework about you getting in your car and driving home and then stepping out of your car? What do you look like as you walk to your front door? And then you open the door to your home. Who's there to greet you? What smells and aromas fill that home? What sights do you see there? What lights you up? Rich people have rich beliefs, and rich beliefs start by thinking richly, crafting this compelling vision, and repeating this vision, playing it over and over and over. And when that negative movie, that bad trailer comes up, you don't sit through it. You turn it off. You physically watch yourself turn off the movie, take out that VCR, that video, and put in the new video. And retrain your mind. Rich people who have rich beliefs, they're willing to deny logic. And you know, when you're willing to deny logic, that means, yes, you set your goals ostentatiously. I mean, they're huge, outrageous goals. But here's the point. You grow into your goals. Have patience with your goals. If you're setting goals that are in the supernatural, you grow into those goals. So break it down into goals that are achievable this week, this month, this year, and then have that one, two, or three outrageous, ostentatious goals that you grow into. I think so often I hear coaches, personal coaches and motivational speakers, put these outrageous goals in the minds of their clients, which I think is wonderful to stretch the mind. Yes, it's wonderful to stretch the goal-setting capability. But the danger is thinking that that can manifest itself in a time frame that's not reality. And then the person or the client gets disillusioned and then regrets setting the goal altogether. So let's be careful that here, and this is a tender subject, I want you to think in the outrageous. Yes, I want you to set that goal. That's an ostentatious goal. And at the same time, I want you to understand that that goal is something that you need to grow into. And growing into that goal could take years. And you got to be okay with that. So let's break down that ostentatious goal so that you are achieving goals and feeling the sense of achievement, the sense of accomplishment. But let's hope you have that one outrageous goal that will take years. I hope you do, because that means you're really stretching. So give yourself permission to grow into your goal. You know, it's on the calendar. The date is on the calendar when you achieve that whatever that is. It's on the calendar. And there's no time in eternity. So today is yesterday is tomorrow. It's already in existence. You just need to grow into that reality. Who have rich beliefs have a different view of you. They have a different view of themselves. They have a different view of you. Do you have a different view of you? You know, it's a new day. You're a new person. You're growing. You're different than you were last Tuesday night going through this Rich Life course. You're different. You've had experiences this week that have caused you to become different. They've caused you to look at your life differently, to look at the future differently, to look at possibilities differently. So every day you're a new person. It's a new day. You're a new person. I want you to give yourself permission to think differently every day and have a different view of you. You'll grow into your view of you. If that view, that vision that you crafted scared you to write that, I hope it did scare you, because, again, you're going to grow into that vision. The third thing that people do in this rich beliefs, people with a rich belief, is they ask more often. They ask, they ask, they ask. They have the courage to ask people for advice, for help, for opportunity, for love, for their needs to be met. They ask. They ask themselves, and they ask others. Oh, if I could get one thing across to people right now, especially you on this Rich Life course, it is please give yourself permission to ask for help. I had someone call just the other day asking me for prayer, and the prayer was for his mom. And I love that prayer, that he was asking prayer for his mom who is dying of cancer. But he's also diagnosed with cancer, and he's never asked for help. He's known he's had cancer for over a year. He's never asked for prayer. He's never asked for help. And then when he calls me, he says, it's really hard for me to ask for help for you. It's hard for me to ask for prayer, but would you pray for your mom? And I said, you know, his name, hey, what about asking for yourself? Will you give yourself permission to ask for help, ask for opportunity, ask for prayer, ask for assistance? Amazing things happen when you ask. And then you need to ask some more, okay? You need to ask some more. I'll tell you how important this is. Just today, I've been working with a client in direct sales, and I've been marketing to them, oh, for years marketing to them, sending them free articles, free success reports, doing teleseminars with their company, you know, consulting with them, and they're finally ready to make a decision to hire me. And she's just not sure. She's had some tough situations last year with the motivational speaker that they brought in, and she's just unsure. And then finally last week she says, yes, I'm ready to make a decision. It's between you and another person, she tells me. And then I didn't hear from her. So I figured, she probably chose the other person. And I'm like, why? Why am I thinking she chose the other person? Why am I allowing myself to, this is just today, why am I allowing, I am the Rich Life person. So I call her on the phone and I say, Sue, I'm thinking about you and I'm wondering if you've made a decision yet, and if not, what else do you need to help? What can I do to help you make a decision? And she said, Lisa, I'm so glad you called. I haven't made a decision yet. I'm just not sure. And so her and I just chatted on the phone, and I asked, what else can I do to help you make a decision to hire me for your people next at this year's convention? And she hired me. But see what the point, I was ready just not to ask again, because I have asked over and over and over, and I figured out I haven't heard from her. She made the decision. So give yourself permission to ask, and then ask again and again and again. Here's the problem. When our egos are so big, we won't ask, because asking puts you in a position of submissiveness. It does. Asking puts the other person in the position of power. So be careful. Check your ego, that your ego isn't so big or too big at this moment that you're not asking. Because, yes, asking puts you in a position of submissiveness, and the other person is the position of control. So that's the problem of my friend that wouldn't ask for help or ask for prayer. You got to be careful for that. So let's, rich people do not have, they have a big ego, but they don't allow that big ego to ever interfere with their dreams or their position or their abilities or their achievements, especially their ability to ask. Rich people have rich beliefs. They have a different view of failure. They have a different view of the word no. Rich people believe in the law of average. They understand LOA, the law of average. It takes 10 no's to get one yes. And you know, the law of average never lies. So if you've been getting a lot of rejection or no's lately, it just means that you have a yes, yes, yes coming your way. You really have to believe that. The law of average never lies. So you have to have a different view of failure, a different view of the word no, and rich people understand this. They do have a different view of failure. They see, they're comfortable with failure. They're not afraid of failure. They almost welcome failure because they know it takes 10 failures to get to one outrageous success. It takes 10 no's to get to one outrageous yes. Fear and this ability to face this fear of no, face this fear of rejection, is the stepping stones to your success. So look at that word no as a stepping stone. Look at a failure as a stepping stone. It's your stepping stone to success. And we talked about that the other week, that, you know, we talked about the, in baseball, the person, Sammy Sosa, the person who tied with Mark on the number one, the most home runs hit in that season. We talked about that Sammy Sosa also held a different record. What was that other record he held? The most strikeouts. So we have to be comfortable with failure. We have to have a different view of failure and different view of the word no. Rich people have rich beliefs. The third habit of the truly rich people is they use rich words. This is something you have control over. Tomorrow you could wake up and make a choice to use different words, words that bring you rich thoughts, words that cause you to have rich beliefs and turn those beliefs into convictions. So what are some of the most powerful words you've ever heard? Write that in that box on page 18 and make a decision to start using those words, using rich, bold, descriptive adjectives. People are intrigued with rich words. Words have power. Do you use words of encouragement? Words with bold, descriptive adjectives. Words that cause people to be attracted to you. Words are power. And then rich people understand that there's some words in our vocabulary that are overused. What words do you have in your vocabulary that are overused? I can remember several years ago, someone coming up to me in my direct sales unit, a sister consultant, and she said to me, "You know, Lisa, I love your, you know, your motivational speaking, and I love your training, but you use the word awesome all the time, and it's really annoying." And she was right. So, what about you? What word is in your vocabulary that you need to strike out for a while, that you need not to use? It's overused. It's lost its power because you've overused it. choose to create a habit to stop using that word and replace it with another word. Rich people also, they monitor their use of curse words. Rich people don't use curse words. Their thoughts and beliefs and position and their posture are so powerful, they can get their meaning across without curse words. I can remember one client that I had, just this gorgeous woman, tall, stately looking, just statuesque, beautiful, gorgeous woman. And the very first coaching client, in that first hour, she said the F word like three times. And I was just so shocked. It just didn't fit her, this vision, this look of this statuesque woman using that word. And the same for businessmen. Businessmen who are attracting sales clients with honesty and integrity and character. Be careful. Be very careful for your use of curse words. People think about it. They do. They hear it and they think about it. And it just doesn't click. Something doesn't click. And whenever something doesn't click in the mind of a prospect, they don't buy. They don't buy from you. When there's confusion in the mind of a prospect, they don't buy. So let's help our prospects to be very attracted to us with our use of words. So use rich, bold, descriptive adjectives. Get rid of words that are overused in your vocabulary. And then monitor your use of curse words. And finally, monitor your use of negative or deflating words. Even if you're talking with a colleague about another client, it's so important to be careful what you say about your competition. Yes, you want to tout your success, but be very careful about bringing down another consultant or company or client or competition. Tell the truth, but be very, very cautious of what you say. I mean, just think of your own personal life. When you're around somebody and you're talking about somebody else, what's your view of that person when they start breaking somebody down or gossiping or saying things about them that's just inappropriate, you know? You know what I'm talking about. Your thoughts about them are a little cloudy. Your beliefs about them are a little cloudy. We can't afford that cloudiness. We can't. When you live a rich life, you need your clients to have no confusion about you. The love of your life, to have no confusion about you. Your friendships, no confusion about you. So let's not cloud any relationship and be very careful with your use of words. And the fourth habit of the rich is rich people have rich actions. Rich, you know, they can't help but have rich actions because their foundation is so solid. Their thoughts are rich. Their beliefs are rich. Their words are rich. And their actions, they can't even help it. Their actions are rich. It's just who they are. It has become who you are. This is when you've got it, my friend. This is when you're in a state of just richness. It's just who you are. Your actions just flow out of you, these actions of richness. I think about the time my daughter and I went shopping at Nordstrom's, and we decided to get a cup of coffee at the coffee house. And walking up to that dessert display at that coffee house, I saw this most... just decadent peanut butter and chocolate dessert. And so I'm telling Ariana, we got to get that. We got to get that and split it. Doesn't it look good? And she's like, no, Mom, I don't feel like that. And I'm trying to talk her into it because, you know, I just can't eat the whole thing. Well, I could, but I just got to split it. And she just doesn't want it. So I said, okay. So I just decided I'll just have a coffee. And she gets her drink too, her treat. And we sit down, and 2 minutes later, this gentleman in his latter 70s comes over to my table and sets down this decadent peanut butter and chocolate dessert in front of me. And he said, I could tell how much you wanted this. Let me treat you to today. Total stranger doing this rich action. Isn't that sweet? I mean, this made such a profound impact on my daughter and on me that even just weeks later, Ariana was in the mall with some friends, and they order at the food court, they order their lunch, and Ariana pulls out her wallet, and she says, I want to treat you today, and she treats her friends to lunch. And that all came from that man's action of richness. You know, how much did that dessert cost him? $3.50. And the richness that it left, the aroma of richness that that action left in both Ariana and myself was profound. And it is the pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. What could you do tomorrow that's a rich action? Rich in generosity. Rich in action for yourself. Rich in your thought of dreaming and building and goal setting. One way to do this, to really create this rich action in yourself, is to think back in your past and think, what is the most outrageous thing you've ever done? Even way back in high school or college, or just be thinking about what is the most outrageous thing you've ever done, the most bold, outrageous, ostentatious action you've ever had. What was it? I did this in a seminar. I do it often in seminars, and I have people come up to the mic, and it's just a shouting match. It's so much fun. The synergy in the room is just intense, and everybody's shouting out the craziest, most outrageous thing they ever did. And one lady said, I met a man in a bar, and I married him, and we're still happy today. And one lady shouted out, I bought a sailboat, and I don't even know how to run it or how to make it go. You know, I'm taking sailing lessons because I bought a sailboat. What's the most outrageous thing you've ever done in your life? I remember one lady said, I went to Europe and backpacked for 3 months when I was in college. And here she was, this sweet lady who was just, I spoke with her after the seminar, and she was in a rut, and she just saw herself as not a risk taker. She saw herself as a failure. See, she saw herself as small. And yet she had done the most outrageous, bold thing, something I've always wanted to do in her youth. And she just went to Europe by herself and went from this place to this place and stayed in Europe for 3 months. So when we brought back that sense of outrageousness, that sense of that risk taker in her that was just, it's just been muted, but it's still there. Every human being is a risk taker. Just ask your parents what you were like when you were 2 years old. Every human being has this natural risk taking ability. It's innate in you. Maybe it's just been muted. Maybe it's just been silenced lately. But go back to your youth, to your childhood, to your days in high school, to college, maybe when you first started your business. What was those outrageous acts, those outrageous steps of faith? Rekindle those again. Write them down. Keep a journal of the most outrageous things I've ever done and reread them. Do you know what that does to your psyche? Do you know what that does to your mindset today and tomorrow when you think on those things? Because those are you doing those things. Picture yourself when you did those outrageous things, those outrageous actions. And when was the last time you did something truly outrageous? Are your actions rich? You know, rich words breed richer words. See, that's the key to the rich life. When you step out in bold faith and begin acting like a rich person, it attracts richness. It breeds richness. Rich thoughts produce richer thoughts. Rich beliefs create richer beliefs, and rich actions generate richer actions. Rich thoughts, rich beliefs, rich words, and rich actions. These four richness, rich habits create the rich life. And these four habits you have control over. You can put this in your life beginning today, starting tomorrow. So part of your homework for this week and ongoing is to really think in your day tomorrow, how can you put these four habits of the rich life into practice in real practical ways? How can you do that? What are the rich thoughts you're going to choose to think on tomorrow? What are the rich beliefs you're going to choose to play in your mind in that vision, to turn that belief into a conviction? What are the rich words you're going to choose to use tomorrow? What's the rich action you're going to do tomorrow? So we have a few minutes late before I have my concluding thoughts. Do we want to open it up now, Vic, to some questions?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Lisa, this is Janet.
Hi, Janet.
I was wondering, you're talking about rich words. Could you give us a few examples of, like, what kind of rich words we could use?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so many in different departments, but one thing is adjectives. Begin using richer adjectives like lovely, rich, outrageous, intense, fierce. These rich adjectives, anything that describes the noun, anything that describes your product, your resource, yourself, your life, use these rich adjectives. In fact, a good exercise is to take out a sheet of paper and just write down as many rich adjectives as you can think of. Just use your brain to think up all these rich adjectives, and then just circle one that you're going to start implementing tomorrow. It's just a habit. And choose to start saying intense more often, or choose to say the word outrageous more often. But just remember that the other key to the rich life is to monitor overused words. So just like my friend told me, I was saying the word awesome too much. So just monitor that you don't get in the habit of saying it too often, the same word, because then it loses its power. Then the other avenue to rich words is building other people up, building people up who are around you, building yourself up with rich words, words of encouragement. Do you know the power that encouragement gives you? When you give a vitamin of encouragement to somebody else, think about what that does to your mindset. It's powerful. So to encourage another is really to encourage yourself. The reciprocation, the gift is truly of yourself. You will get the best gift when you encourage other people. So be thinking of words of encouragement, even just to strangers. Tomorrow, start encouraging other people. Words of encouragement. It will be amazing what it does to your mindset. So there's two examples of rich adjectives and rich encouraging words to others.
Thank you. And I just want to also thank you again, and I'm really enjoying these seminars.
Excellent. Good.
Very good. Well, who else has got a question before we wrap up?
Lisa, this is Molly.
I'm Molly.
I hope you can hear me. I apologize. I had to be on my cell phone. I have a question about the egos. You said when our egos are so big, we won't ask. And I'm kind of pondering that because I never asked a lot of questions because I feared looking stupid. And does that mean that I have a big ego?
That means you have an ego full of pride, yes, because the most important thing, you see, it's a difficult position to put ourselves in because we don't want to look stupid. We don't want to look like it's a dumb question. So,
uh-huh.
And so what are we risking? We're risking knowledge, so we'd rather not find out the right answer just so we don't look stupid. I mean, when you take that to its furthest extension, it's illogical. We're hurting ourselves. So
right.
That is the ego of pride, that we would rather not be educated than to look stupid asking a question. So, yeah, we have to give ourselves permission to, all right, I might look dumb, but I'm going to ask this. And I might embarrass myself, but I'm going to speak up. I might put myself in a position of being the receiver, which is very difficult for some people, myself included, but I'm willing to do that. I'm going to ask for help.
Mm.
The people who don't ask for help are the people who have very wounded egos, very very low self-esteem, because they don't want to put themselves in a position of servanthood, of submissiveness. They have to always be the leader. They have to always know the answer. It is the person who's willing to put themselves in a position of, hey, I need some help. Will you help me? Oh, that's the person who has, it's just amazing. I mean, think of, we have to just change our mindset about asking. We have such a negative connotation to that, this putting ourselves in the position of asking, when really we're just hurting ourselves in the long run. And, and we're hurting our ability to gain knowledge and wisdom and experience. So, yes, free yourself up tonight to be able to ask, and then ask again, and then ask again. And some of you right now, you already know what you need to be doing. Write it down. Be willing to do this tomorrow. You know who you need to ask. You need to, you know. It's on your heart. So just change your mindset about asking, and step out in faith and ask.
Lisa, it's it's more than just biblical that ask and you shall receive. It's more than just an aphorism, more than just a biblical term. It is absolutely true, and I'm so thankful that you've enlightened them so much on that, because in my own life, so many great things have come because I started asking. And it was amazing, because it is. It's pride. It's low self-esteem. It keeps you from asking, but ask and you shall receive. It'll be amazing. The skies will open up. You'll wonder where it's been all along.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? And what Vic just said is so true. It's just really about giving yourself permission to do it. So see, finally Vic said, what am I doing? Just give myself permission to do it, start asking, and amazing things opened up to him. It's the same for you and me.
Well, I think probably my background probably was like a lot of people on the call, where I was brought up to be very independent. Asking was... well, you know, it's frowned upon. That's not something you do if you're an independent person. And quite frankly, it's just the opposite.
Isn't that interesting? We're being deceived with that belief, and that was right in week number 2 and 3 about breaking through the strongholds of our heritage and our family. That hey, if you were raised to be independent and you can get it done, and blah blah blah. And let's rethink those. Is that really serving us?
Who else has got a question or an observation or comment?
Hey, it's Sally.
Sorry,
Sally. My voice isn't working. You're talking about clutter and disorganization earlier. Does that fulfill the need to be in control?
No, I don't believe it's a need to be in control. I believe it's shouting out a hidden message of either you're working on a goal you don't really want, or you're fear is bigger than your goal, because the clutter is holding you back, and it's serving you, because clutter will always hold you back. A cluttered mind cannot move forward. Just like this cloudiness or this clutter with a prospect, when a prospect is under that cloud, he will not say yes. He will not make a decision. A confused buyer never buys. A confused goal setter never sets their goal. So this position of being disorganized, or this habit of having clutter around you, is very revealing to an incredible fear, because you can't see through the clutter. And so that's actually holding you back. It's keeping you safe from really trying. So really here's the truth. The first step is not clean out the clutter. The first step is find out what you're really afraid of. When you find out what you're really afraid of, and then you create a goal, a dream that's bigger than your fear, so you can start talking to that fear. Whose voice is that speaking to you? Educating that fear. Don't shy away from it or be afraid of it. You stand up to it. You take a position of leadership and start speaking to that voice of fear. Hey, fear, let me talk to you here. You're miseducated. Let me enlighten you. I'm not kidding. You talk like that to this fear. and you start educating that fear, you take a position of leadership and take control over this, you will be shocked how your behavior takes care of itself. You will start being more organized. You will start clearing out the clutter. You will start seeing through your steps and following through in your neatness of steps, putting files away, documenting phone numbers in the Rolodex. You will be keeping track of your money. You will be surprised at your behavior. So here's the weird thing. It really doesn't start with the behavior of cleaning the clutter, because you're just going to clutter it up again. It starts with the belief about what's the fear that's holding you back from this goal. Start talking to that fear and clean that up first, and then your behaviors will clean up automatically. It's amazing how it works.
Lisa, it has been a wonderful, wonderful 4 weeks, and tonight you really hit us right between the eyes with some stuff that we needed to hear and we needed to come to terms with and we need to deal with. Know that you've heard some things, learned some things to make a major, major change in the way that you see your life and the way you see your future so that you can live the rich life. So send us home, Lisa.
Great.
Send us off into the great yonder there with some final comments tonight.
Oh, I want to send you off to the great yonder because I can tell you, sitting around that kitchen table 3 years ago when I was on this personal journey myself and thinking with my three kids sitting around me and my husband sitting around me, I'm thinking, these people are holding me back. I can remember whispering that to myself. And you know what that feels like as a mom? To realize you're just not a good mom, you know, that you're actually using your kids as an excuse for not really trying. And when I started working on my thoughts and my beliefs and my words and my actions, just 2 years later, I'm sitting around that same dining room table with my three children supporting me in my business, so excited for the mom to experience the breakthrough success that I've been experiencing. I'm telling you, my friend, it's so worth it. So we're sitting around that table, and I tell my children, Mommy did really well this weekend. I had a speaking engagement where we sold $80,000 worth of books and tapes in the back of the room. And I said, Mommy did really well this weekend, and I want to share it with you. And so we went around the table, and I let my three kids tell me, whatever you want, Mommy wants to treat you and get it. And you know what that feels like, to be able to give back to your kids in a monetary sense, not just everything we've been through on this journey and developing and personal development and spiritual development, but in a monetary sense, to be a mom, to say, you know what, guys, I'm proud of you. Thank you for helping me build this business. We did it together. Now let me treat you. What do you want? I want to give you whatever you want. and just to be, I want you to be able to do that. I want you to be able to know that a seminar is coming up and you want to send your downline to it and you treat all of them to it. And I was just able to do that this weekend. Three of my personal coaching clients, I was able to pay their way to a personal development seminar. To be able to pay people's way to a National Speakers Association, and just to be able to treat yourself and others. That's the kind of rich life, rich thoughts, rich actions, rich beliefs, rich words that I want from you. And if anyone here has not signed up for that RX Success Report on my website, go to www.rx-success, that's letter R, letter X, dash success, success.com, and you can begin receiving the special reports, which are free. That's free, that I send out twice a month to continue this personal development process. And finally, Dr. Freud once said, if a baby has not had a serious fall within the first year of life, then that baby is being too closely guarded. Wow. Think of that as being a mom or a dad and allowing your child to have a fall. And if you're not allowing those falls, then they're being too closely guarded. Now take that truth in psychology for youngsters and bring it into your life. Look at the last year of your business, of your personal life, of your love life, have you had a fall in the last year? If not, could it be that your life is being too closely guarded? You were born to risk take. You are a natural, innate risk taker. So make sure, just like Freud said about children, that you don't guard your life too much. Let yourself risk. Let yourself think of the outrageous. Let yourself set the supernatural goals that you will grow into. Change your beliefs about failure. And then really take these tips, and if you're getting the CDs, listen to the meditations and listen to the beliefs, the words, the thoughts, the action of the rich life, and they will become who you are. And then you will live a life of the truly rich.
Thank you, everyone. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you so much, Vic. Thanks for all you do, for your great message, your great work ethic, and I just love you.
Thank you.